1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to look at a couple of verses with me. This is the story of David and Goliath. Most of you, obviously, you all know the story of David and Goliath. And I want to just point out one thing what Saul said here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. I ask you again, give us the words to say. Help us realize how important your word is to us, whether it's in a chapel service, preaching service, Lord, whether it's our own personal devotions. Lord, speak to us as individuals. Help us, Father, listen. And Lord, help the young people to respond according to what the Holy Spirit would lay on their heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, story of David and Goliath. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Of course, David is at home when he comes. The battle's going on between the Philistines and, of course, the Israelites. And David comes to the battle and he sees his brothers there, his three brothers, his three eldest brothers are there fighting. And he says, hey, what's going on here? And he says, hey, listen, there's this champion of the Philistines. His name's Goliath. And, of course, David is very interested in this whole thing. And, of course, his brother Eliab gets upset with him and says, hey, listen, why don't you go on home? You know, we know you're naughty. This is your pride of your heart. And he says, is there not a cause? And, of course, there was a cause. And, of course, David was willing to fight for that cause. And Saul gets word that David finds out about this. And so he goes and stands before Saul. And Saul here, and now that's where I want to look at it. Saul starts to talk to David. And David says, I'll go fight that Philistine. And Saul said, you can't do it. That's what he said. He says, you're not able. And the reason he said he wasn't able is because he was a youth. And that phrase is mentioned just actually a couple times, once by Saul, once by Goliath. And David said, basically, it's not a matter of me being a youth. It's a matter of that God in heaven does not want this guy to do what he's doing. And so this morning, I want you to look at those verses. We're in verse 33 now. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 33. It says, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. I want you to say that next phrase with me together. You ready? For thou art but a youth. Can you say it again? All right, let's stop for just a second. I want you to look here. I'm going to preach for just a moment. Number one, I don't preach very long. Number two, I'm not with you guys very often. But I want to tell you something. When you come to Christian school and you come to chapel, many of you are very lethargic this morning. And some of it might be the weather. But some of the reason you're lethargic is because you're not spiritual. All righty? Now, I want to tell you, one of these days, you're going to wake up and find out how important it is and how many things you've missed in life that God wanted to do in your life, but because you have a no-care attitude, you're going to miss out. Now, I'm not standing here, and I'll go play dodgeball after this, but I'm not going to play dodgeball with a bunch of people who don't care about me preaching chapel. Are you listening to me? So if I were you, I would shake it off. Because I'm not here for my health. I've got 1,000 other things I could be doing right now. Now, the Word of God's important. And I'm ashamed of some of you young people that you're 13, 14, 15 years old and you still can't figure out that you're not being made to be a Christian. So I want you to pay attention and act like you're paying attention. Now, I want to tell you what Saul said here in this passage is about you. He said, you can't do it because you're a youth. Now, you don't have to wait till you're 25 to figure out God wants to do something with you. I sat across from a guy yesterday for lunch, and he said, you know what? Now, of course, he's saved now. He's 29 years old. And he says, man, I wish I'd have known when I was a young person what I know now. And he lived his life for the devil. He's already been married and divorced. I mean, he looks back at his life, and he thinks, man, alive, it was awful. But now that he's saved, like, do something. He says, and here's what he said. I wish I would have known now, then. And you young people, you know it all now. And one day down the road, you're going to say to yourself, I wish I'd have done something with what I know now, knew then. All right? Because it won't be a matter of, oh, I didn't know that. It'll matter if you did know it. All right? Now, this morning, I'm done scolding you. I want you to think about what he says here. 1 Samuel 17, look at verse number 33 again. It says, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. Verse number 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put the helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. I'll stop there. But basically, the passage here goes on to say that he goes against Goliath. And Goliath says the same thing. In fact, I will show you that. Look at verse number 42 there. And it says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a what? about a youth and a ruddy and a fair countenance. Now, the phrase I want you to key in on is verse 33 when Saul said, thou art but a youth. Now, young people, it's interesting to me that David ended up being something in life, okay? And think about it. He's called the man after God's own heart. There's nobody else in Scripture that the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. The Bible calls him in the book of, I think it's Psalms. I mean, it might be Psalms, but it says in the Bible that David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. In other words, almost the majority of the Psalms that we have are written by David, all right? David had several other titles. David was the king of Israel. David was the father of the person who had a son who was the wisest person who ever lived. David had a lot of titles, but David didn't have those titles when he was a youth. And we don't know what the age was when he was a youth, but I guarantee you, every person in here, except for those, every person in here in school and college, would be considered youth. All right, now, sometimes we like to get to that point in life where we don't think that we're a child, and it's not talking about being a child, it's talking about being youthful. Hey, there's things that you just don't know. I'll never forget after getting married, and I was teaching in the Christian school, and my father, I was really upset because some of the young people were just doing things and that I didn't think that they should be doing. And I went to him, and my father said this. He says, Scott, you don't have children yet. You don't understand. Well, you know, I took that as a cop-out. But I want to tell you something. When I started having children, there were things I didn't understand. And there are things that you're going to go through in life. Marriage brings an understanding. Children bring an understanding. College brings an understanding. A high school looks at a college student and says, man, the college used to do this, this, and this. Well, you're not a college student. And we cannot get you to understand what it means to be a college student until you become a college student. So you guess what? There's no sense trying to understand it because you're not a college student. What I'm trying to get you to see is that in youth, there's things you're not going to understand, but God allows experience and age to cause you to have that understanding. So here comes David, and David comes into this room with King Saul, and he says, hey, listen, I'll fight that guy. And in King Saul's mind, he didn't understand. He says, listen, David, you don't understand. You've never been in battle. From the time he was a young person till the time of his adulthood, he understands war. You don't understand that. So here the phrase that King Saul makes is, he says, you can't do it. The reason you can't do it is you're but a youth. I want to tell you there are things you can do even as a youth, and God wants you to do it, but you're going to have to make a choice whether or not you're going to do them. Now quickly, let me give you these three thoughts this morning. The first thing is I want you to think about is this, is that young people can do great things for God. Hey, David, did he kill Goliath? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So young people can do great things for God. Hey, who told Naaman that he could be healed of his leprosy? Just a little maid. Now, I don't know how big the little girl was. This little girl here is the tiniest thing I've ever seen, man. I'll tell you what. I don't remember my kids being that small. You're about the ugliest thing I've ever seen. But you know what? God used a little child. Hey, we don't have his name, but goodness, 5,000 men plus women and children were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Where'd that come from? Come from a little lad. You go throughout the scripture, you're going to find out there were people, and they were all children that were used of God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, and actually it says it 3 different occasions, it says that the child Samuel ministered. The child Samuel ministered. Hey, Samuel became the greatest prophet of the children of Israel that Israel had ever had. Hey, why did that happen? Because there was somebody in their youth decided, I'm not going to wait till I'm an adult to serve God. I'm going to serve God right now. And college, it doesn't matter if you're a college student or not, you're considered youth, okay? In the Bible, when God said that the children of Israel were not going to go into the land of Egypt, God said those children that you were referring to will be 19 and under. All those 20 and above did not go into the promised land. They were considered adults by their admission and by God's admission. God called a child 19 and under. The children that are going to go to the promised land, those are 19 and under. Now, the majority of you in here are 19 or under, and if you're not 19, if you're over 19, you're not far above that. I just want to tell you, you're still in your youth. And can I tell you, in your youth, God wants to use you. And David said, hey, listen, I don't care. Nobody else is going. I'm going. Hey, can I tell you, God wants to use you at the age you're at right now. You don't have to wait till you're married. The truth of the matter is, you marry the wrong person, you're never going to serve God anyway. Hey, there's people that get married that went to the Christian school all their life. Then they'll never do anything for God. Married the wrong person. Hey, can I tell you, now's the time you ought to decide, hey, I can. You say, well, I'm just a kid in a Christian school, okay? But you're not just a kid in a Christian school. You're a child that God knows by name. If you're saved, God knows you. Well, God knows you by name regardless, but God has your name written in heaven. God knows you by name. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. God can use you at the age you're at. You can make a difference. Why? Because David did. Because God wants you to. So the first thing I see here is that young people can do great things for God. In 1 Timothy 4:12, you know the verse. Remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, let no man despise thy... The word despise means to disesteem or to think less of. And I want to tell you, Saul thought less of David, and it's because adults look at children and we think youth, oh, they can't do it. You know, the problem with us as adults is we don't give you the opportunity and we don't think you can. But you can, you just need an opportunity. And some of you just need to take the opportunity. All right, so how do I cause adults not to think less of me? Many of young people, you have that problem already. All right, you know, your parents don't think you can do it. You know, your teachers don't think you can do it. So you don't think you can do it. Okay, well, you're going to be like everybody else. You're going to be a David. Everybody thought Goliath couldn't be killed. Guess what? David thought he could. Now, I want to tell you, young people can do, youth can do great things for God, but I want to tell you how it happens. I think 1 Timothy 4:12 tells us, let no man despise thy youth. How was Timothy not to cause people to disesteem him because he was a young person? Well, Paul tells him how. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Now, all of those things mean something. Another message, another time. But when Paul said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, the word example means a die mold. In other words, here's what your problem is, okay, as a young person. The reason because you're in your youth whether it bothers you or not, where people disesteem you, where they think that you can't do something, the problem is you expect adults to look at you as what you're going to be instead of letting an adult see you for what you are. If you really want your parents and your teachers to give you liberty to be able to do things as an adult, then act like an adult. Even a child is known by his, whether his work be pure and whether it be right, doings. So here's what Paul told Timothy. He says, if you want people not to disesteem you, oh, they'll never, you can't fight Goliath, you can't do it. And I want to tell you why I really believe the reason Saul let David go fight Goliath, of course he wasn't willing to go anyway. But the reason he let him go is because, hey, I've already done this. I've already fought a bear, I've already fought a lion. His doings caused him to not to be disesteemed, to be able to do something great for God. Hey, young people, I want to tell you something. God can do something great with you in your youth, but I want to tell you the only way you're going to keep people from disesteeming and not think that you can and not give you the opportunity to do is to do. To do. Be thou an example of the believer in word, what you say, in conversation, the way you behave, in charity, the way you care, the way you love, in spirit, the way you pray, in faith, the way you read your Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and then, of course, in purity, the way you conduct yourself. God's very clear on how we do. You want to be something great for God as a young person, then I want to tell you what you got to do. Do something now with the way you are. Watch what you say. Watch how you behave. Watch how you conduct yourself. Do those things. Now, quickly, not only do I see that young people, in this passage here, the story of David, young people can do great things for God. Look at something else. Saul here discourages him. Number two, there are those who will discourage you from serving God. In this passage here, of course, he said in verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Hey, was David able? Yes or no? Did David do it? Yes, he did. All right. Hey, can I tell you something? They thought he couldn't do it. You know, it's interesting, the description of Saul before he came king, 1 Samuel 9:2 says this, and he had a son, talking about Saul, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Now, isn't it interesting, Saul went from being the goodliest person of Israel to being king, but then he wouldn't even go fight Goliath. The last phrase of that verse says he was head and shoulders above everybody. He had the greatest opportunity and potential to be able to kill Goliath and be what he should have been, but he didn't do it. So David comes along, and the first thing I see is that as a young person, he did do something. David, God wants to use young people. He was willing to be used. But the second thing I see is he was discouraged from doing anything. Hey, now, young people, can I tell you, I think that you have the opportunity to serve here, but I guarantee you there are going to be people who are going to discourage you from serving. It's interesting, in this passage, just this one passage alone, okay? Saul discouraged him. He's a picture of a leader, okay? He was the king, okay? So leaders can be discouraging. Eliab discouraged. That was David's eldest brother. Oh, come on, David, just go on home. Is there not a cause? Family will discourage you. It's interesting that the rest of the children of Israel, not one other person stepped up to go fight. David's peers, his nation. Hey, can I tell you, there are going to be people that are going to discourage you all the time from serving God, but you're not living your life based upon what everybody else tells you can and cannot do to a degree. I'm not talking about right or wrong. I'm talking about what you can or cannot do for God. That's not what you're living your life. What does God want you to do? Hey, why do parents have to make their children go work on a bus route? Why don't you want to work on a bus route? Well, I don't want to get up in the morning. Well, that's just your flesh. Hey, there are, in your youth, you can make a difference for God. But I want to tell you, there'll be those who discourage you. Sometimes it can be your own friends discourage you. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Why not? It's because they don't want to do it? Sometimes it's going to be King Saul, the leader. Hey, I mentioned it the other night, but when Brother Dimitri was here, but Mrs. Polivka, when I went to her church year after year after year, I didn't think, there is no way I would have thought she'd be in Belarus right now as a missionary's wife. There is no way. The kind of family she was from, she wasn't from a full-time Christian servant family. She was just a family in the church. Her sister was married and divorced already, her older sister, and that was years and years ago. And she was young, and her sister wasn't much older than her. She was not the kind of family you'd think that, you know what? When she was a teenager, she started going to Camp BIMI. BIMI puts on a camp for teenagers that are interested in missions. And it was through that she actually met her husband. And it was through that she got married. It's through that she's over there. All I'm trying to say is that she decided, hey, listen, I want to be different. I want to do something. You have to decide that. If I was to decide for that little girl as her pastor, I would have never thought that would have ever happened. Sometimes preachers don't see the picture that God wants us to see. We look at your life and sometimes we think to ourselves, well, there's just no way. Now, I do believe this. There's always a way because God does miraculous things with things that seem so insignificant. So it doesn't matter what kind of family you're from. Hey, can I tell you, the people that you think are going to make it, in my experience, are the ones that don't. I mean, they've had everything given to them. They've been given the proper training. They've been given all the opportunities. It seems like those, you know, the ones that seem like that God, and it goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God uses the things that are despised, the things that are not, the things that are not, the things that are weak, the things that are base. So you know why? So that God gets the glory. Now, I want to tell you, you're going to have to decide whether or not. And as a young person, it's not going to start when you're 25. It starts right now. It's your guys' age whether or not you're going to read your Bible or not. Hey, young people, I tell you this. There's guys across there that are in high school. You can't make them read their Bible because they don't have the character to do so. It's going to be a whole lot easier to read your Bible then if you start reading it now. I have no doubt. I don't know which ones, but there's probably college students when they read their Bible. They only do it because they have to. They're going to get off for Christmas, and some of these college students, I don't know which ones, but there's probably some of them that aren't going to pick up their Bible over Christmas until they come back. That's sad. Listen, I want to tell you, at your age right now, this is when you're supposed to love God. And now's the time you want God to do something in your life. Not when you're, man, 25, 30. Hey, I wish you guys could have talked to that 29-year-old yesterday. Boy, he had a rough life. There is no doubt. And he's done some things that were not worth talking about. But he looks back at his life and says, man, I wish I could have been raised in a Christian home. Wish I could have been saved earlier in life. And here you are. You're saved earlier in life. And this morning when you come in here, I have a hard time talking to people that don't want to listen to me. Because to be honest with you, if you don't want to listen to me, then God has somebody who does. I'm glad you've changed your tone. But when I first came in here, I didn't like your attitude on your face. You didn't say a word, but your face tells everything. Another chapel. How long is this going to last? What can we do that's fun? Let's go eat. Hey, I want to tell you, God wants to speak to you, but if you're not listening, he won't. And God gives more to those who hear than those who don't want to hear. So the first thing in this chapter here I see is that, first of all, that young people can do great things for God. Second of all, there will always be those who will discourage you from serving God. Unfortunately, sometimes it is family. Here's the last thing. Earlier battles in life prepare us for bigger ones. This is probably a given. Earlier battles in life. David, why do you think you can go fight this Philistine? Well, it's real simple. A bear came into the flock one time and took one of the sheep, and I went up to him and grabbed him by his beard. I'm not interested in grabbing anything by its beard that's an animal, but he grabbed it by his beard and took that bear and whipped him into shape. And then that lion came along, took one of the sheep. I went over and I took the sheep out of the lion's mouth, and then I slew it. Now, as king, I'm thinking to myself, man alive, if you can fight a lion and a bear, at least you might have a chance against this thing. Hey, can I tell you that right now, you're having battles in your life, you just don't know what they are. Now, they're not lions and bears, thank God. But you know what your battles are? I want to tell you what your battles right now are. It's your brothers and sisters. It's brothers and sisters that don't want to serve God, and you do, and you feel, and so you just go along with the flow. That is a battle. Hey, I know it's not a lion and a bear, but can I tell you what your battle is? Your battle is trying to turn in a homework assignment in on time and not late. Hey, you know what your battle is right now? It's studying for a spelling test. It's just a spelling test. Yeah, but you're not willing to fight it. And if you're not willing to fight a spelling test, what makes you think you're going to fight some spiritual battle down the road? Hey, you know what your battle is right now? I know it sounds crazy because you don't understand. But you know what some of your guys' battle is right now? Basketball practice goes for 2.5 hours on Friday. I don't like Fridays anymore. I'm right. You know I'm right. But you know what basketball practice is about? It's not really about you winning a game. It's not about you putting a ball through a hoop. It's because your flesh doesn't want to run. Do you understand that God uses little things in your life to prepare you for bigger things? And what you're looking at as a big thing right now is a small thing that God's trying to do to prepare you for something big. That's all it is. You know, for the college student is at your age, at almost 20 years of age, that some other human being has to check to see if your bed's made. Isn't that ridiculous? You're practically an adult, and somebody's going to check to see if my bed is made? This is stupid. I think it's stupid. When I got out of bed this morning, I make my bed. To me, it's real simple. I get out of bed, I pull the sheet over, I tuck the sheet in, I pull the comforter over, I tuck the comforter in, I take the pillow, put it back in its spot. It took me 30 seconds. It's not a big deal. And it won't bother me if you come check my bed. But you know what somebody's checking your bed is right now? Preparation for something down the road. Young people, everything that happens in your life is not an accident. You're not insignificant to God. Everything that happens, by the way, if he has a count of every hair on your head, then I think he knows where you're going to be in a year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. God's looking for some young people that everybody else will say this. They can't do it. They're too young. That's just a youth. They've never experienced anything in life. God's looking for somebody like that. That says, hey, I don't care how old I am. I just want to do something for the Lord. But you have to decide if you're going to do something. Choice is up to you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm done. But I was talking to somebody the other day. They're not married. They're single. And, you know, the older a person gets, but and it's worse for girls than it is for fellas, for whatever reason. But anyway, girls want everybody wants, in my opinion, everybody wants to get married. Everybody. Now, at this age, you don't want to get married. You throw rocks at the boys right now. But but as you get older, God puts something inside of you. Everybody. No, nobody. Loneliness is just it's an awful thing. A person is lonely. 20. By the way, 21, 22, you're still young, but. The older a person gets, you know, they want to get married. But you know what? You would be better off staying single all of your life. And you say, Pastor, you're married. I agree. But Paul said the same thing. People who are single can serve God without distraction. Getting married is a distraction, major distraction. But anyway, this particular person, you'd better off staying single all your life and making a difference for God. Than being married and not having loneliness and doing nothing for God. Because let's face it, there's no marriages in heaven. None. God said that. We're married to Jesus Christ. And our feelings that we have now will not be feelings in heaven because we'll have a perfect body. So you live your life here. All I'm trying to say is do something for God now. Don't wait. Because what you do now will probably determine what you'll do later.